The other evening, as I was anticipating this most humbling and challenging moment for me, I imagined I heard the exquisite music of this hour. These thoughts, perhaps inadequately expressed, came to my mind, and I penned them in tribute to your selfless sharing of your talent. So a tribute to you who have shared your talent with us. The arts are like a rainbow's hue, as heaven paints an exquisite view. We're quickened and see in the air a beauty that a moment before wasn't there. The echo of distant yesterdays moves us to express heartfelt praise. The promise of the inborn tomorrow, restless stirs as we from your talents borrow. Lifted to this higher plane, remembrance of you we will sustain. We pray blessings will you attend as your talents from life's cares us defend. Thank you for your beautiful rendition, all those uplifting presentations and representations of your talent. Life is a journey. To get our bearings in the northern hemisphere, we look to the North Star. In the southern hemisphere, we look to the Southern Cross. The North Star is always there. Sometimes it is dimmed by the light of day or the haze of clouds at night, but it is still there. It is but the vision to see that we lack. There are few sights as beautiful as a starry, clear night. We look at the handiwork of the Creator of the universe and are lifted and thrilled by the view. It seems our sight penetrates the forever. This is physical sight. There's another sight that is vital. It is insight, spiritual insight. How do we utilize this to overcome the dimness of the day and the haze and clouds of the night, to see the insightful star, the handiwork of the Creator? It is to look in the right direction, brush aside the dimness, the haze, the clouds, and see the spiritual directing handiwork of the Creator. A prophet of God is like the North Star. We get our collective bearings from Him. Let's journey through time. What will you be doing November 7th, 2078? What are you learning that you will use in 2078? 3078? 4078? What must you know a millennium from now? 2 millenniums from now, 3 millenniums from now, unnumbered millenniums from now. We must know the star is there. We must reckon our position by that star. Those directional rays of light will lead our journey to safety. In the Doctrine and Covenants, chapter 1, verses 37 and 38, we learn this. Search these commandments, for they are true and faithful, and the prophecies and promises which are in them shall all be fulfilled. What I, the Lord, have spoken, I have spoken. My word shall not pass away, but shall all be fulfilled, whether by mine own voice or by the voice of my servants, it is the same. The apparent source of a prophecy is from a prophet. When a prophet speaks, in one sense, it isn't he speaking. He is a carefully prepared channel for a communication that springs from the headwaters and flows down into the valley to feed thirsty souls. This is the Lord speaking, using and inspiring the mind of his servant, the prophet. So the prophet is the chosen enunciator of inspiration that rises up within him from an omnipotent and omniscient being, our loving Heavenly Father. It is like the crystalline water that courses down from the heights of the majestic mountain, flowing from the white, pure snow that has come down from the heavens. The snow does not originate from the mountain peak. It is placed there by a divine providence to flow into the valley and green the crops, to give us the succulent red apples of harvest time, the orange pumpkins, the sweetness of crisp, tender celery, to produce the bounties of nature, a symmetrical tree, the colorful, radiant flower. This is a visual and physical effect that we can observe. From the prophet flows the living water to quench our spiritual thirst. Let's listen to a heaven-sent truth as revealed in Old Testament times. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. There arises in our minds then these questions. 1. What is a prophet? 2. How certain are their admonitions? 3. What is the penalty of not giving heed to them? And 4. What are the promises of believing in their words? Let's look at Latter-day Scripture for guidance in our quest for answers. First, what is a prophet? Quote, and again the duty of the president of the office of the high priesthood is to preside over the whole church and to be like unto Moses. Behold, here is wisdom, yea, to be a seer, a revelator, a translator, and a prophet, having all the gifts of God which he bestows upon the head of the church. Doctrine and Covenants 107, verses 91-92. What is a prophet? He has all the gifts of God. 1 Corinthians 12 begins, now concerning spiritual gifts, and there follows in this chapter an expression of many gifts. The same theme continues in the next two chapters. We're admonished to desire spiritual gifts. Many gifts are spoken of in the 46th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. And in verse 29 we read, that unto some it may be given to have all those gifts, that there may be a head, in order that every member may be profited thereby. What a North Star to guide us. Question number 2. How certain are their admonitions? Quote, and the earth may know that the mouths of the prophets shall not fail. We find this in sacred scripture. Now number 3. What is the penalty of not giving heed to them? Quote, and the arm of the Lord shall be revealed, and the day cometh that they who will not hear the voice of the Lord, neither the voice of his servants, neither give heed to the words of the prophets and apostles, shall be cut off from among the people. And now to question number 4. What are the promises of believing in their words? Quote, not only those who believed after he came in the meridian of time, in the flesh, but all those from the beginning, even as many as were before he came, who believed in the words of the holy prophets, who spake as they were inspired by the gift of the Holy Ghost, who truly testified of him in all things, should have eternal life. Let's observe the Lord's anointed of today, President Spencer W. Kimball. May we move back in time 30 years, touched by the promises to the Lamanites in the Book of Mormon and other scriptures. He was lifted to a prophetic vantage point and pierced the future. He said in 1947, the Lamanites must rise in majesty and power. In that day, in Central America, there were fewer than 100 members of the church. And in Mexico, less than 5,000. About half of whom are up in the Mormon colonies. Now 30 years passes. What is the situation? Central America moved from less than 100 members to over 40,000. Mexico has now an excess of 200,000 members of the church. Convert baptisms in Mexico, Central America, 1974... were 16,500. 1975, it increased to 21,500. In 1976, 38,500 convert baptisms in 1 year. Now, with those 38,500 came over 12,000 children of record, composing 7,521 families. Or in the year 1976, another way to state it is that over 50,000 eternal spirits came into the kingdom. The Lamanites must rise in majesty and power. We must look forward to the day, continues President Kimball, when they shall have economic security, culture, refinement, and education, when they shall be operating farms and businesses and industries and shall be occupied in the professions and in teaching. And at that time, there were fewer than this many professional people among the members of the church in Mexico, Central America. Listen to this list describing stake presidencies, high counselors, and bishops in the Mexico City area. Architects, attorneys, engineers of agronomy, biochemical, mechanical, aeronautical, petroleum, topographical, civil, and electrical. Doctors of medicine, including surgeons and pediatricians, dentists, nurses, business managers, tailors, carpenters, building contractors, teachers, school administrators, pediatricians, CPAs, auto mechanics, business machine repairmen, blacksmiths, insurance agents, and the list goes on and on. And I was informed just a few moments ago that on this Friday in Mexico City, there will be 16 master's degrees conferred upon Mexican nationals by the Brigham Young University. My, are they responding, you see, to the promptings that have come to them that's described in this prophetic statement of the prophet. And President Kimball continues, when they shall be organized into wards and stakes of Zion. In that day, one stake in Mexico, Central America, in the Mormon colonies. As we look at Mexico today, it would be like a stake in Seattle, Portland, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and San Diego as we move down the West Coast. Except the names down there would be Tijuana, Mexicali, Ciudad Obregón, Hermosillo, and Culiacán. As we would move inland to Salt Lake and Denver, in Mexico we would move to Juarez, to Chihuahua, to Torreón. And moving farther east to the Chicago area would be in Piedras Negras and Monclova and Monterrey, where there are four stakes. Moving farther east, we'd be in Vallehermoso. And then moving south in Mexico, like on the eastern border of the United States, we would come to Tampico. And just up from Tampico, we have Ciudad Victoria. And then continuing on down the coastline, there is Poza Rica, two stakes. Veracruz, two stakes. And just inland, in Orizaba, another stake. Continuing on south, Minatitlan. Up in the toe of the Yucatan Peninsula, Mérida, two stakes. Moving closer then to Mexico City, a stake in Guadalajara. Another stake on the other side of Mexico City, three stakes in Puebla. 15 stakes close to the city of Mexico City. Over 50 stakes in that part of the vineyard, approaching 500 wards. The Lamanites must rise in majesty and power. And another sentence of yesterday with future promise from President Kimball, quote, when they shall build and occupy and fill the temples and serve in them. Within the past few days, a temple has been dedicated by the prophet of the Lord in São Paulo, Brazil, and a temple in Mexico is in the final preparation for construction. Now we've looked something to the past and the fulfillment of prophecy. He has the vision to see the welfare of every living soul now on the face of the earth. Let's listen to a current, modern, far-reaching revelation. And I now refer to the revelation that you're all aware of, but let me repeat it for emphasis. Quote, as we have witnessed the expansion of the work of the Lord over the earth, we've been grateful that people of many nations have responded to the message of the restored gospel and have joined the church in ever-increasing numbers. This, in turn, has inspired us with a desire to extend to every worthy member of the church all of the privileges and blessings which the gospel affords. Aware of the promises made by the prophets and presence of the church who have preceded us, that at some time, in God's eternal plan, all of our brethren who are worthy may receive the priesthood, and witnessing the faithfulness of those from whom the priesthood has been withheld, we have pleaded long and earnestly in behalf of these, our faithful brethren, spending many hours in the upper room of the temple, supplicating the Lord for divine guidance. He has heard our prayers, and by revelation has confirmed the long-promised day has come when every faithful, worthy man in the church may receive the holy priesthood with power to exercise its divine authority and enjoy with his loved ones every blessing that flows therefrom, including the blessings of the temple. Accordingly, all worthy male members of the church may be ordained to the priesthood without regard for race or color. Priesthood leaders are instructed to follow the policy of carefully interviewing all candidates for ordination to either the Aaronic or the Melchizedek priesthood, to ensure that they meet the established standards for worthiness. We declare with soberness that the Lord has now made known His will for the blessing of His children throughout the earth, who will hearken to the voice of His authorized servants and prepare themselves to receive every blessing of the gospel. President Kimball looks to the future. The billions who await the blessings of the gospel. And I quote from President Kimball now. The day is coming and is not too far ahead of us when all the temples in this earth will be going night and day. There will be shifts, of course, and people will be coming in morning hours of the day and throughout the day, and we'll have no vacations for the temples. But there will be a core of workers night and day, almost to exhaustion, because of the importance of the work and the great number of people who lie asleep in the eternity and who are craving, needing the blessings that can come to them. End of quote. This expression, made in a day when many temples in the world are not operating at capacity and on schedules considerably less than around the clock, we will watch the fulfillment of this prophecy. Now, continuing with President Kimball, we're all familiar with the prediction of the prophet Brigham Young, who saw the day when there would be hundreds of temples. It has even been spoken thousands of temples. Of course, that will take time. We can promise you many additional temples which will someday dot this land and then the other lands of our world, of Europe, Asia, South America, the islands of the sea. Before temples are built in greater numbers, we must, of course, prepare for them. End of quote. Temple building is at a higher level of activity than at any time in this dispensation. We are being moved toward the realization of the truths in this prophecy. Now an expression of urgency from Him whom we revere. Quote, most members of the church are aware of our intense interest in the missionary work in the church and the appeals we have made in many lands for the rededication to preaching the gospel and preparing missionaries to carry the good news of the restoration to people everywhere. I feel the same sense of urgency about temple work for the dead as I do about missionary work, since they are basically one and the same. I've told my brethren of the general authorities that this work for the dead is constantly on my mind. End of quote. As President Kimball expresses his intense interest in missionary work, we are brought to the realization of the tremendous growth in the church. It is anticipated that 1,000 stakes will be approved for organization before the end of this year, and if time permits, even be organized. His urgency expressed toward temple work and the preparations for it, we'll see fulfillment in the implementation of the records extraction program in genealogy, where literally millions of names are now being made available from around the world. To respond to the challenges of this great growth and expansion of the church, He has reached into the implications of the revelations of the past. In the Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verse 34, we read, the 70 are to act in the name of the Lord under the direction of the 12 or the traveling high council in building up the church and regulating all the affairs of the same, in all nations, first unto the Gentiles and then to the Jews. In October 1976 General Conference, President Kimball made the following inspired utterance. Quote, since the accelerated worldwide growth of the church requires a consolidation of its administrative functions at the general level, the first presidency in the Quorum of the Twelve, with the concurrence of the assistants to the Twelve and the first Quorum of the 70, have felt inspired to call all the assistants to the 12 into the first Quorum of 70, to call four new members into that quorum, and to restructure the first council of the 70. With this move, the three governing quorums of the church defined by revelations, the first presidency, the Quorum of the 12, and the first Quorum of 70 have been set up in their places as revealed by the Lord. This will make it possible to handle efficiently the present heavy workload and to prepare for the increasing expansion and acceleration of the work, anticipating the day when the Lord will return to take direct charge of His church and kingdom. Let's look at the organization of the church. In the 107th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, we are enlightened concerning the principles of the power and authority of the Melchizedek priesthood. Verse 18 says, the power and authority of the higher, or Melchizedek priesthood, is to hold the keys of all the spiritual blessings of the church. The 22nd verse says, of the Melchizedek priesthood, three presiding high priests chosen by the body, appointed and ordained to that office and upheld by the confidence, faith, and prayer of the church, form a quorum of the presidency of the church. 23rd verse, the 12 apostles. The 12 traveling counselors are called to be 12 apostles or special witnesses of the name of Christ in all the world. The 70, verse 25. The 70 are also called to preach the gospel and to be a special witnesses unto the Gentiles and in all the world. The formation of the first quorum of the 70 has now prepared the way to deploy area supervisors out in the world. Elder Kikuchi in Japan, who supervises Japan and Korea. Elder DeYager in Hong Kong to move the work forward in Hong Kong, Taiwan, the Philippines, Indonesia, and Thailand. Elder Didier in Belgium, having the responsibility for many nations. These brethren and others from the First Quorum of the 70 can give close, first-hand attention to the progress of the church throughout the world, where the church is now established. The kingdom of God is rolling forth to prepare for the kingdom of heaven that will come. Now, what of 2,078, 3,078, 4,078? Where is your North Star for millenniums from now? Will you heed His counsel of today to prepare you for tomorrow? Here is a servant of the Lord who has the spiritual sensitivity to await the promptings of the Spirit, and when distilled upon from the heavens, has the courage to move forward fearlessly. There is a living prophet today. He is the reflector of the will of our Heavenly Father. This is the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Redeemer. I bear you solemn witness that He lives. I witness unto you that God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ appeared in our day and reestablished the authority so that the gospel could be here. I pray humbly that the blessings of heaven will descend upon every one of you individually, that you will know there is a North Star, and that North Star, a prophet of God, receives its inspiration and direction from heaven. May we be blessed to watch, understand, and obey the prophet of God. I pray humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.